Welcome to Acquire Connected, the podcast that is your compass in the world of data across environmental, social, and governance.
Welcome to the first episode of the Acquire Connected podcast. This podcast features interviews with thought leaders and technology experts who are tackling data management challenges in the geoscientific, environmental, and social performance industries and their impact on the Earth's resources, the natural environment, and communities around them. I'm Jamie Nobbs, your host for this podcast, and today we are featuring the panel discussion from the trade show floor at this year's Prospectors and Developers Association of Canada, also known as PDAC. The theme for this panel discussion is Mining for Tomorrow, a data-first approach to sustainable mining, and the panel discussion is facilitated by Alison Atkins, CEO at Acquire. Alison is joined by three industry speakers, Jeremy Vincent, Director of Geology at Wheaton Precious Metals, Alexis Epen, Senior Mine Geologist at Centerra Gold, and Peter Lauder, Exploration Manager at Max Power Mining Corporation. Let's get into it.
Okay, we'll get started. So thanks, everybody. This is our inaugural panel discussion that we have every year. We did have one with Nova earlier in the convention this week, but as per our schedule each year, we run a panel on the Tuesday with experts from the industry, so I'm very thankful and grateful for the three who have volunteered to participate today. I'll introduce them shortly. So as you can see from the slide, the panel discussion is around mining for tomorrow and a data-first approach to sustainable mining. So ultimately, we're all very much focused on data and the quality of the information that we're collecting, and it stems from having the right information and making sure you're collecting the right data so you then can form those confident decisions. And as the industry is evolving, there's a lot of things that are happening that are changing our roles, changing what our organisations are focusing on. And particularly with technologies and a lot around government governance and compliance and the ESG terminology that everyone's familiar with, there's a lot of things that are happening across organisations that we really need to be focusing on if we haven't already, but start doing so. So with that, I'm going to introduce my three panelists, starting closest to myself. So we have Alexis Epen. Yes. So Alexis is a senior mine geologist, and she works at Centerra Gold. So she has a Bachelor in Science in Earth and Ocean Sciences, which is pretty cool, very much aligned with the environmental side of things, from the University of British Columbia, and is a registered professional geoscientist with British Columbia. Over 15 years experience in mining, exploration, ore control and operations. She specialises in mining software implementations, maintenance and digital infrastructure. She has worked in mining projects in North, Central and South America, so all of the Americas. She is interested in honing her technical skills and learning from different mining projects to better understand and provide effective solutions to the challenges that mining companies face nowadays. Very impressive introduction there, Alexis. Next, I'd like to introduce Peter Lauder. Now, for those of you who may not know, Peter actually helped us out quite immensely a few days ago when we needed to fill our third seat for the panel. So graciously volunteered at very short notice to assist us with today's panel. And we have a very long-standing relationship with Peter. So Peter is currently an exploration manager for Max Power Mining Corp, very impressive mining company name, as we were discussing earlier. Exploration and production geologist with over 25 years experience in Northern Ontario, Quebec and West Africa. He's worked in various companies ranging from major to juniors and is currently working for Max Power Mining, exploring lithium in northern Quebec and southern Arizona and with Galloper Gold in Newfoundland. Our last panellist is Jeremy Vincent. Now, Jeremy is the Director for Geology for Wheaton Precious Metals. Jeremy works within Wheaton's corporate development team, assessing projects and partnership opportunities on projects around the globe. He's a geologist with more than 19 years' experience internationally in green and brownfields exploration, database management, sampling and QAQC, geological modelling, mineral resource estimation, operational grade control, mine reconciliation and governance processes, so quite a bit there. He holds a master's in mining engineering and applied geostatistics and enjoys outdoor pursuits and practising his Spanish whenever he has a chance. So I'm going to ease my three panelists into the questions to start with. So we'll give you an easy one, particularly around our focus on data. So I'll start with you, Alexis, okay, for the first one. What role does data quality and accuracy play in ensuring that your company has the right information to make those confident decisions?
All right. Well, I guess this is something that I'd been hearing a little bit over the last couple days when I had been doing my machine learning course, and it's also something that one of my mentors had told me right at the beginning when I did some of my first consulting work, is when you're working with people's data, you know, you really got to be careful with what you do, make sure it's of quality, because I hate saying this, but the term garbage in, garbage out, that's very relevant to everything that we see, whether whatever data it is, whether you're dealing with environmental data, geology data, basically anything. And so it seems to be a recurring theme that I kept hearing over the last, well, not just the last weekend, but over my career. So it's funny, is bad data better than no data? I guess it does depend, but it really affects the way we are able to mine. Do we shovel here if our data is actually that bad? So it affects the way that we report. It affects the way that we report to our shareholders, whether it's internal or external. So it does play a huge priority in everything that we do. So that's all I mean.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Peter?
Ours is a little bit different. With us being a smaller company, our most precious commodity is our information, our data. So we have to have very good data to be able to either auction off or help bring other companies in to help us do what we're doing, either exploring further or mining. So that data has to be in a well-kept manner and a lot of QAQC done on it, and that's very important for us.
Perfect. Vincent?
I think I would echo a lot of what, you know, my two colleagues have
said
here.
Sorry, Jeremy.
That's okay. I get it all the time. I would certainly echo what my two colleagues here have said. And working for Wheaton Precious Metals, it's I'm on a different side of the fence now. We're a company that we don't produce our own data. We rely on the data of our partners. And so our partners need to have good governance processes in place. So they're providing us with good data. So then we can go and meet our own ESG targets and production targets that we've broadcast out to the market.
And so just following on from that, Alexis, you touched upon machine learning. Where do you think that has a space currently when we look at information management and data?
Yes, that's a great question. In the past couple of years, I've been working with some of my former colleagues on significant amount of data that have been we've been producing for almost 40, 45 years. And that data, you know, there's such a difference in the survey, the way that the data was analyzed and whatnot. And we were hoping to use machine learning models to predict our weight recovery. But there was so much data, and trying to start to see that data, it was all in different files in all different areas of the network. So we tried to push that into one data repository, but it needed to be cleaned. You had to take the time. Maybe at the time I didn't understand why we were going through that process, but in order to feed data and train our models, it needed to be good data. It had to be clean, and it was worth the time it took to clean it and make sure it made sense before we go in and trained our models. Mm-hmm. So that's where I saw that.
And I guess for the two gentlemen, are you playing around in the AI ML space in your organizations?
Go ahead.
You know, that is something we are moving towards. It's inevitable for any company that if you want to keep up, this is going to be, it's going to have to be brought in. I think there's also some misconceptions around machine learning that it's this silver bullet, that it's going to fix everything, or we're going to say that machine learning has discovered a deposit for us. No, it hasn't, and it won't. Machine learning is really there to help us see in dimension, or to be able to use multidimensional data and help us see patterns that we can't see as humans, that we can't recognize as humans. We can only see in three dimensions max, maybe four if you want to consider time. And when we're looking at hundreds and hundreds of variables, we're going to need algorithms that help us process that. And so with the algorithms that are, and actually the math has been figured out now for 30, 40 years in some cases with some of these algorithms. None of this is really new math. Now is we finally have the computing power to be able to do this. And so now it's time that we start integrating this into our workflow and we use it to assist us. And that's what I'm most excited about.
Fantastic. And Peter?
I'll echo that that stuff is, and that the one thing that we look at is there's so much historical data that we would have to go through manually. We would have to digitize it by hand, old maps from the 50s, 40s, etc. With AI, like we were talking, you can actually use that to bring in that data by machine learning and use that, again, with machine learning to find your targets, as you were suggesting, because using multispectral, hyperspectral data, all that other type of data that you have, you can't do it by yourself. There's too much information.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess leading on from that, one of the other questions we pre-prepared. I mean, there's digital technologies are emerging and there's new technologies, new capabilities being introduced, particularly at events like this every year. What are the ones that you're seeing are more exciting or you're starting to look at within your organizations? We'll start with Alexis.
All right,
again.
most recently, I'm working with blast movement technology where we're looking to predict where in-situ material has been blasted and then understanding where actually it moved. And in the past, a lot of it was using physical balls, understanding, you know, where the material has actually been moved. And then now we're looking to avoid, you know, taking our safety into account, avoid walking all over the muck piles and things like that. And there are engines out there that that we're able to sort of predict where the material has moved in a 3D vector space rather than 2D. So we're actually currently working on that right now with a couple partners. And so it's pretty exciting because, to be fair, I really don't want to be walking on a muck pile in the middle of winter when there's ice everywhere. So just from a safety perspective and even just, I want to be able to sustain my colleagues and, you know, we want them to be working all the time rather than, you know, oh, well, I'm injured now, I can't do anything. So I think there's so many applications to what we're doing, and myself and my former colleague had worked on some applications to await recovery in our grid control models in iron ore. So there's so many applications, whether it's environmental, social, corporate governance side of things. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And Peter?
It's definitely what we were talking about earlier on, was machine learning and artificial intelligence. That's near the top of the list. Some of the other things I find are the remote sensing that's coming out. They're putting out satellites now that can do amazing things with very fine definition. And again, coming back, being able to utilize that information using artificial intelligence is very, very intriguing.
Great. Jeremy.
Actually, I think I get the pleasure of giving a bit of a wish. Well, less technical answer, not wishy-washy, but being on the mine finance side of the business, this comes back to relying on our partners' data. And I will say good quality data or data that's coming from new technologies, how they're incorporating it, will make our lives easier in the due diligence process. And so when we're looking at a project and we're looking to potentially partner with a company, if they've incorporated, you know, new technology and they're able to extract the most value out of their data, that makes our due diligence process much easier. That will even help with our discount rating when we're looking to create the deal and how we value the project. And that will make our cost of capital cheaper. So there's a lot of aspects, you know, that are not even just directly for the business themselves when they're looking for financing. I think there can be some added benefits there too.
Absolutely. And I guess just following on from your commentary around safety and not wanting to walk in muck piles, from an ESG perspective, where we're seeing a lot more requirements for organizations from a compliance perspective, from a reporting perspective, how have you seen this impacting your organizations and I guess your roles in particular? I'll start with Peter this time.
Yes, actually it can. I don't know if you're aware, in Quebec, they've actually putting in place permitting for communications with the local communities. So it's absolutely necessary, and it's going to be part of the permitting process. So that, again, takes a certain amount of time, which will affect how fast you move forward with your permitting and whatever exploration or drilling that you're going to be doing.
So it's definitely what we're seeing quite regularly is that it's stakeholder engagement is becoming something, particularly for all of us as organisations, to ensure not only we're complying, but we're doing the right thing as well. And I guess our shareholders in particular are observing these things. Jeremy?
Yeah, and actually I'll build off what you've just said there. For us, really what we're looking at is, again, being a consumer of this data, we are, so for example, with Wheaton, we have committed to, it's going to be a net zero by 2050 for Scope 3 financed emissions. And so we're relying on that data from our partners. And as well, we have a sustainability-linked loan. So Wheaton has a $2 billion revolving credit facility. And the interest rate that is actually tied to borrowing against that is actually linked to ESG KPIs. And so from us getting good quality data there, if we are meeting our targets, and that actually lessens our borrowing costs, so we've set that up to be motivating ourselves to continue to do the right thing as well, you know, around ESG and around our local communities. So that's kind of how we're bringing this all together full circle.
Fantastic. Alexis?
Well, actually something that I found really interesting in the last week is there was a company that actually released all of its drill hole data. That allowed, you know, people to go put that in their visualizers or maybe run their own resource estimates. And, you know, that's transparency to any potential shareholder or the current shareholders. And I think that's a huge step. You know, I have not actually seen that in the past. Maybe it was. But maybe that's the way some of the juniors are going to be going, potentially, you know, allowing other people to do their due diligence instead of relying on, you know, we hit 11 meters of a specific intersect of gold or copper or whatever. So it's interesting because I did see that in the news recently, and I thought that's a big step.
Yeah, that's probably an amazing step, and I don't think there's any other organizations that have gone to.
Very few.
I'd be very surprised, and it's going to be interesting to see the market sentiment from that one as well. So, and I guess just following on from talking from the stakeholder engagement, but just ESG in general, which is a very broad bucket, you're all looking at different initiatives with your organisation. What are you doing with the data?
Should I start?
I'll start with Jeremy.
My answer will be short here. We are, again, we're building our processes with how we manage our data. We get outputs from our partners, and there for us it's just simply a matter of collating it and then using that to then inform ourselves in terms of how we're meeting our KPIs. I think there's lots of opportunity for us to continue to grow with how we get that data, how we manage it, and then what we can do with that going forward.
Great. And Peter?
Well, part of the ESG is the governance, like we were discussing before. And if we want to, as a small company, we want to ensure that the data that we're giving somebody is correct, we have to follow it up with the proper procedures and the proper data or proper paperwork to ensure that governance is in place.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I guess something from an acquirer's perspective, it's something we focus on quite strongly with all of our information management solutions, is ensuring that there is that compliance. And we're assisting our customers to have that confidence when they're using the solutions, whether it's a gym solution or environmental solution, Insight, which is our social performance solution in South Africa as well. Alexis? Well,
and, you know, again, working with a lot of historical data, again, if you're working in an operation with 40, 50 years of worth of data, even more, that's not always in the same place. So trying to put that in a structured format so that it can be used to, you know, for other analysis for other departments and stakeholders in the whole process, being able to actually report the right numbers. So, you know, putting that into a repository to be able to access the correct data is, you know, that's a necessary part of this whole process.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and I guess as an organisation, the CEO of Acquire, we're very keen to hear from you all if there are problems that you're looking at solving in the space, to see how we can assist with that. And through the products we currently have, we are working with a variety of organisations as well, but we're seeing more and more requirements in this space, in the ESG, around reporting and compliance. It's such an evolving area that we all have to work within, and there are either jurisdictionally, internationally, globally within our organisations, additional requirements we're now needing to factor into our business processes and the volumes of data we're collecting. So we are keen to hear from you on these things as well. Well, I'm going to wrap it up there. I guess thank you to the three of you, Alexis, Peter and Jeremy, for participating in today's panel. It's always great to have long-standing customers put their hand up, volunteer to represent and assist us with these events, and give us their insight on how they're using our technologies and also just data in general. As you're all aware, at Acquire, we're very passionate about data, and it's great to see so many other people here and the three of you also espousing that as well. And again, it's the correct information, right people, and confident decisions.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Acquire Connected. If you enjoyed today's episode, please make sure to like, share and subscribe to this podcast on your podcast player.
Thanks for listening to the Acquire Connected podcast channel. Find us at acquire.com.au.